unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the name of Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, has anyone ever watched you for a while and then asked you, what are you doing? Or, why are you doing what you are doing? Now, those questions might be asked just out of curiosity. They might also be asked with the thought, what right do you have to do what you are doing? The response to these questions might simply be, I'm doing my job. I'm doing what God expects me to do. The question, what right do you have to do what you are doing, was asked of John the Baptist by the religious leaders who came to him out in the desert where he was preaching and baptizing. John's response to them was that he was doing what God sent him to do. Now, while the religious leaders didn't agree with what he said, they certainly couldn't argue with it. This morning we turn our attention to a similar question of the Lord Jesus. Our theme is Christ's authority was questioned. Our text is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 11, beginning at verse 27. Then they came again to Jerusalem, and he was walking in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him, and they said to him, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things? But Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one question, then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, they feared the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed. So they answered and said to him, we do not know. And Jesus answered and said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Historically, in the biblical account, this incident referred to in our text takes us back to the middle of the first Holy Week. On that first Palm Sunday, Jesus made his triumphant and glorious entrance into the city of Jerusalem. The celebration and the ceremony that went with it really upset all of the religious leaders. And they were especially upset by the multitudes who were following and those who were going on before and were singing, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The children's participation in that whole ceremony really upset them also. And they asked Jesus whether he didn't hear what all those children are saying. And then they asked him to tell those children to keep quiet. However, Jesus didn't take orders from any of them. The next day was even more upsetting for the religious leaders. As was customary for Jesus, he came back to Jerusalem, and he came into the temple, and Jesus was very upset at what he saw. There was all kinds of buying and selling going on in the temple. And Jesus turned all of those tables over of all of the money changers, and he told them to take all that out of the temple. And then he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. They weren't only doing business in the temple. They were doing dishonest business too. Later, Jesus left, and he went and spent the night outside somewhere of the city of Jerusalem. The next morning, he returned to Jerusalem. He and his disciples walked along and came to the temple again. Here he was confronted by the religious leaders, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Three different religious groups that didn't really agree among themselves were confronting him and asking him with reference to his ministry. They had been waiting a long time to find something that they could really pin on Jesus so that they would claim they had every right to get rid of him. After what had happened on Sunday and Monday, they might have been asking themselves, is this going to go on day after day, all week long? They gathered around Jesus and questioned his authority. By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you the authority to do these things? Now, two things have to strike you. The authority of Jesus was being questioned by, of all people, the religious leaders. And furthermore, he, as the Almighty Son of God, begotten of the Father from eternity, born of the Virgin Mary, was asked by what right he had to do what he was doing. Now, the religious leaders should have known who Jesus was. They should have known that he was the promised Messiah and Savior of the world. Supposedly, as religious leaders, they devoted a lot of time to a study of the Scriptures, which at that time was only the Old Testament. That, of course, was their responsibility. And on another occasion, Jesus told them, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me." You search the Scriptures, you should find in the Scriptures that the Scripture is testifying of me, the Son of God, and the only Savior. However, in their spiritual blindness, they failed to see the connection between Jesus and the Word of God. Did they really search the Scriptures? Or was it for them, like it is for a lot of people today, the Scriptures, that this is a nice book to have lying around and it gives a good impression when people see it? But at the same time, for many, it is rarely opened, searched, or studied. Is it any different now than what it was for those religious leaders? Not only for them, but also for religious leaders throughout the whole world. There are religious leaders who are teaching and giving the impression that they're giving the Word of God. But where do they get what they're talking about? They don't get it from the Word of God. There isn't a single teaching in Christianity which has not been doubted, questioned, or rejected by somebody somewhere. Of course, no human being can ever make claim to be able to answer that question of Jesus when they don't accept Jesus as the Son of God and the only Savior. Questioning his authority, questioning the Word of God, is something that has gone on from the beginning of time. It all started in the garden when the devil came to tell Eve, "You've got it all wrong. You're not going to fail if you eat of this forbidden fruit. God knows that when you eat of this forbidden fruit, you're going to know good and evil. You're going to be just like God is." And of course, they believed that and fell for it. At this point, when I was working on my sermon, I happened to look up, and on the wall I have a little plaque that reads, "God said it. I believe it." That settles it. The Word of God settles every issue for us. Now, these religious leaders who were questioning his authority really weren't interested in getting an honest answer. Their minds had all been made up. Their questions of authority was like a smoke screen to cover up what they really had in mind. And what they really had in mind was to get rid of Jesus. They didn't want any more information from him. The day before, after Jesus had cleansed the temple, Scripture reports, the scribes and chief Pharisees and priests heard it, and they sought how they might destroy him. It was no longer a question of what they would do to him. They had their minds made up. They were going to find some reason to get rid of him. The question that remained was, when? When would be the convenient time, and when could we get away with it? What was Jesus' answer to these blind leaders of the blind? He didn't refuse to answer their question. He agreed to give them an answer if they would give him an answer to his question. I also will ask you one question, then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me. 3 years prior to this, these same religious leaders were questioning John. By what authority are you preaching and teaching and baptizing out here in the wilderness? Where do you get your authority? And of course, John gave them an answer, but they didn't believe him then. And of course, many don't believe what Scripture reports now. Actually, Jesus was asking them to search their own souls and to quit playing religious games. Jesus' question resulted in a meeting of the religious leaders. They had to call a meeting right away. Now, if we say that John's baptism was of God, he will nail us. Then why didn't you believe him? And if we say it's of men, the whole crowd is going to rise up against us. So it's not safe for us to give any answer. And they said to him, we do not know. To set yourself above Christ's authority is neither safe nor wise, spiritually or any other way. There are multitudes who have tried it. And of course, where are they today? To upset and reject the authority of Jesus is like puny little man kicking at the base of the Statue of Liberty, thinking that he can tip it over. Those who question Christ's authority and who attempt to destroy his word are doomed to failure in this life, and they're doomed also for eternity. 1,000 years before Jesus ever came, the psalmist wrote of all of the futility of those who questioned his authority. The psalmist wrote, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed one, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. And what is the psalmist writing as God's response to what they're trying to do? He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord will hold them in derision. People in their arrogance question Christ's authority and want to free themselves from this word of God. People look upon the word of God as being something that hems them in. After all, the commandments say, you shall and you shall not. Get rid of the commandments, and then I'm free to live and do as I please, and I don't have to ask or give consideration to anyone. Yes, there were those who regard the word of God as something too narrow for our enlightened, educated, learned generation. It simply doesn't fit with our thinking. Now, why did all of those educated and intelligent temple leaders come with this? What did they have to say? We do not know. We can't answer your question. And Jesus' answer to them was, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Now, was Jesus trying to be difficult? Oh, no. No, he was still concerned about the spiritual welfare of all of those people who were confronting him. He wanted to keep them thinking and keep them searching his word for the sake of their own souls. He was telling them, think again before you go ahead with all of your plans to destroy me. Think again of the consequences of questioning my authority and of rejecting me as the Redeemer of the whole world. The blessings and the good things that come to us by believing in Jesus and accepting his authority, and the consequences of questioning authority and rejecting him, all of that, both sides, is summarized in one simple verse. At the end of Mark's gospel, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. At the end of that first Holy Week, and at the beginning of the next week, Jesus demonstrated the authority of his word and his authority over sin, death, and the devil. On Good Friday, he suffered and died and sacrificed himself to take all our sins away, to pay the price so that you and I will be redeemed, so that you and I will not question or doubt what is recorded here, but we will accept it, we will believe it, and we will have the promise of the blessing of everlasting life. And then on Easter morning, he rose from the grave, conquered sin, death, and the devil, revealed himself as the victor over all of the evil, and that gives us the assurance. He is who he said he was, the Son of God and our only Savior. So what does it say to you and me? Avoid what those religious leaders did. Don't question the authority of God's word. Don't question what Jesus did in order to redeem you. Just take him at his word and believe he is the Son of God and your Savior. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. Amen. O Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to worship and praise you, the only true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Establish our hearts firmly in your word, that we may trust all that you promise and obey all that you command, lest we become weary in well-doing. Move us daily to sincere repentance, and when we come confessing our many sins, enable us to trust your great mercy and forgiveness. Give us faith to lay our burdens of sin beneath the cross of Christ, knowing that he has entirely redeemed us. Keep us, your heirs of everlasting life, faithful to the Holy Scripture, giving us grace to believe every word, confess faithfully and truthfully every teaching, obey every commandment, and heed every exhortation. Make us ready at all times to defend the truth and to give answer to all who ask us concerning the hope we have in Christ. Through your word be our guide and constant companion, that we might be led to shun all that is sinful and choose those things that are appropriate for our high calling as your dear children and heirs of eternal life. Keep our faith from failing. In times of trouble, teach us to look to you as our helper. In times of sorrow, to look to you as our comforter. In times of weakness, to look to you as our strength. In times of peril, to look to you as our protector. We ask all of these blessings according to your good will and promise. We give thanks for all the blessings you so bountifully bestow upon us, for both body and soul. May we serve you with the best of our gifts and abilities. Sanctify us and make us ready to do every Christian work. Gather the members of our congregation regularly, that we may worship you and hear your word. Through the precious gospel of salvation that is shared by all, increase the bond of brotherly love among us. Remind us to pray for one another and make us willing to share one another's burdens. Preserve us from being so heavily encumbered with the affairs of this life that we fail to give adequate time and attention to your word and the life that is to come. Help us grow to full Christian maturity through the special and spiritual food given to us in your holy word. Watch over us as the apple of your eye, and preserve us from the evils that come our way, and continue to bless us with the freedoms that we enjoy in our beloved land. We ask all this in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "All of you, drink of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. We thank you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this saving gift, and we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.